Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we are going into our ninth year in August, because we've been on since 1999, so 8 years. And we'll be going into our ninth year. It's hard to believe. But anyway, we want to thank God for this opportunity that he's given us here on Blog Talk Radio. And to give us this platform to be able to preach the gospel. And really, we're trying to reform the way Christians have been taught, so many Christians have been taught wrong, and mainly because preachers, pastors, evangelists, so-called apostles, prophets, and teachers, they decided that it was more lucrative for them to scam people and to use the gospel as a way to enrich themselves. And so then yet the Bible says, and my people love to have it so. So why are these churches still filled with people? I don't understand. Why are these television ministries, so-called ministries, why are they still in existence today with all the Bible that we have all over the place? Everybody has a Bible. We have more information overload than we need, yet people are still attending these fleecing centers. Now, I had been able to go over and look at the old Benny Hinn property in Orlando, and it was called, or I think it was called Orlando Christian Center anyway, when Benny Hinn owned it. So it was quite the place at the time. It's not a monstrosity of a building, really. It's I don't know how many members he ever had there, but anyway, it's a pretty good size building. I had been there a few times back in the day when I was in the Word of Faith movement, and I had gone over there to see some seminars and things that they were having. And at the time, really, it was a well-manicured piece of property. When you walked in, I think there was like an atrium, and the sanctuary wasn't that big, really, but It was well kept. And then, of course, Benny built quite a large administration building. I guess he built it in the back, but it's a pretty good size building. But anyway, Benny sold it, and I can't remember exactly what year it was when he decided to get out of Dodge. I think Benny saw the handwriting on the wall, really. He blames the media. He blamed the media in Orlando. He said, oh, I was getting so much bad press and the media was hounding me. Well, I'll tell you something, really. The media doesn't really hound people unless there's something to hound about. And apparently, Benny, there was a lot going on over there at the fleecing center, because being on that property and looking at it as it is today, that's all I could see when I was there, is that it was used for one purpose. It wasn't really used to preach the gospel, because the real gospel, and I reject anyone that claims to be a Christian and then cons people in the name of Jesus out of money. No, I'm sorry, but you're not a Christian when you do that. I don't care what name you have or how much fame you have or how much so-called success you have. If you can't tell the truth about what's in the Bible and you do it knowingly, then you're not a Christian. So Benny Hinn's not a Christian. That ministry, so-called, that was there in Orlando, all it looked like to me was a fleecing center. That's all it was. It was a place to bring sheep in there. And the big bad wolf there, Benny, and his gang that he had, fleeced people day after day and week after week for offerings. And then when Benny decided... And like I said, he blamed the news media for doing these investigative reports. But of course, the one of the investigative reports that was done by, I think it was Joe Pepitone there in on the one of the news channels in Orlando. So somebody had followed Benny out to the Mideast somewhere, and there was Benny in a garden. Now they captured this on video and they played it on the local news. So, and the video is on YouTube, but anyway, there's Benny sitting in the garden with Steve Brock, his singer, and Dave Delgado, his personal assistant, who later died of a heroin overdose. Now, how does that happen? There's Benny, and Benny has a pipe in his hand, a hookah. Now, a lot of people probably don't know what a hookah is, but a hookah... And you could go look on the internet. It's H-O-O-K-A-H. It's a hookah pipe. And it's got a bowl in the middle. They usually put water in that bowl. And then there's another bowl on top where they put tobacco or they put marijuana or they put whatever they're smoking. And then it's got long tubes. Oh, 6 tubes, 8 tubes, 10 tubes, long tubes. And people sit around and they put these tubes in their mouth and they inhale the smoke, whatever it is. So there's Benny passing this thing around to his crew there. Well, why was he mad at Joe Pepitone of Channel 6? Joe didn't have the hookah in his mouth. So what was Benny upset about anyway? Be sure your sins will find you out anyway. And we know that currently Benny is under investigation by the feds. Benny is under investigation. His office was raided not too long ago. You can blame everybody. Just blame everybody you want. But you can't blame anybody ultimately but yourself. And the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. So there's pleasure in sin, and there's pleasure for these people because they enrich themselves, they own mansions, they have airplanes, they, like this guy Todd Koontz, I don't know if he spent $200,000 or $400,000 eating out at restaurants. You know, I mean, come on. It's like the Bible says, okay, there's pleasure in sin for a season, and then, boom, you're exposed. So when the season's over, it's over. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. It's just worth it to lead an honest life before the Lord and not go begging everybody for offerings and the begging ministries. It's a disgrace. If you can't trust God to keep your ministry going, then don't have a ministry. Go get another job where you get a paycheck every week and leave people alone. So we are trying to continue the Reformation that has been going on really ever since Jesus has been here, when he was trying to reform things himself. And, look what happened to him, really. They tried to throw him off a cliff at one point, and then they had him arrested. for crimes that he did not commit. So you see what happened to him, and he was trying to reform things, and he was pointing the finger at the Pharisees and the hypocrites and calling them whitewashed walls and snakes, and oh, he was letting them have it, right? So we are trying to reform the way that people have been taught to think. And because you see this young man, Fred Price Jr., and really, I wanted to do this program especially for Fred, because now I have a feeling, I can't be 100% sure, but I have a feeling that Fred Jr., now he has to live with the fact that he's a junior, and we all know, most of us, who Fred Price Sr. is. And Fred Price Sr. now is about an 85-year-old man, and he's not well. Apparently, he's had some kind of health problems recently. And then his son, Fred Jr., took over the church. Now, Fred Jr. Was born when they were older. They had a son whose name was Frederick also. I think he was Frederick Price the third or something like that. I have to get this information up because I did look up some information about Fred. But anyway, they had a son who was tragically hit by a car. Yeah, Frederick K.C. Price the third was his name. And he was 1962, it says this happened. He was struck by a car. So that was a tragedy. I think they have three girls besides now the new Fred Jr. So here's Fred Jr. And really, he does seem like a nice young man. I have to say that. He seems like a nice young man. But anyway, a few weeks ago, he got into the pulpit and he said that he was going to step down. He didn't go into the main reasons for his stepping, but he claimed that he made some bad judgments or something like that. So, oh, well, we can only assume, right, what it was. We can only assume what it was. And anyway, I would say this to Fred Price Jr. You say in your, and I'm going to play the audio of his speech that he gave there. Now, basically, this young man has been handed everything. It's not his fault, really. His father really built his ministry, so-called, on the tithes and offerings of the people of Crenshaw, California, and then also through, he had a television ministry and still does. They're still on television, but, and then he wrote books. But he built his ministry really on a false gospel of tithing and seed sowing and all this, and they became quite wealthy. Fred Sr. even bought himself a Rolls Royce at one point, and so, oh, God wants you rich. Well, that's up to God whether you're going to be rich or however you're going to be, because he's the one that's the provider. So it's up to God. God doesn't want everybody rich. Not everybody can handle riches. Why do you think Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? I think he knew what he was talking about, right? I think Jesus knew what he was talking about. So I get the impression that Fred Jr. really probably would like to change his name. Now, if I was Fred Jr. and here you are, you were handed this church, you were handed everything. And of course, after losing a child, of course, in such a tragic way, here was the golden boy, Fred Jr. comes along. And Yeah, they do. They're crazy about this kid, obviously. So he gets everything he wants. He gets this church to pastor because his father is sick and can't run the organization anymore. And of course, the sisters aren't going to run it. So this young man steps into this job, and he didn't have to work for it. He didn't have to prove himself. He just had to be junior. And he, of course, we know that Fred Price Sr. was a big proponent of tithing, that you better give God 10% or else you're cursed. But of course, the Bible doesn't say that. And so they build this massive ministry. They even went to New York and bought an old church there. I think it was a Christian Science church, or gorgeous building there in Manhattan, which they sold not too long ago. So Junior inherits all this. And then Junior gets this revelation about tithing, and he realizes after people confronting him, and at least he was open to talking to people. In fact, I was going to have him on this broadcast not too long ago, and we were trying to hook up. We hooked up on Twitter, and he said he would come on, and then the messages kept going in the wrong place or whatever, and we just didn't hook up at the time. But eventually, I'd like to have him on this program. I'd like to talk to him. And so if I was Fred Jr., and he says in this apology speech that he makes at the church when he's stepping down, he says that he's going to take some time off as pastor. He has to step down. He's going to resign as pastor. But of course, that's only temporary. And then guess who's taken his place? His father, his 85-year-old father, and his mother, who they call Apostle. Now, you're going to hear this with your own ears, if you can believe it, that Fred Price Sr.'s daughter actually calls him Apostle and calls her mother Mrs. Apostle. Can you imagine that? Give me a break, please. I always called my mother Mom and my dad or Daddy. I never called my parents by a title. I don't know. To me, that's weird, okay? It's just weird. And it's also weird that people expect you to call them by a title. And let me read you a scripture here about titles, in case you don't know this scripture. Job chapter 32, verse 21. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man, for I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my maker would soon take me away. So why do we do it? Why do we do it? Why do people insist on being called, especially ministers of the gospel? It's okay if you have a doctorate, if you earned your doctorate, then you are a doctor. Then, but you don't have to make a big deal about your title, because you're still you. I'm still Susan. You can give me a million titles, and I'm still Susan, and I'm flesh going somewhere to happen, okay? And so is everybody else. So look what happened to Fred Price Jr. He's got the titles. He's got the name. He's got everything. Now he's stepping down because of something, poor judgment, which, like I said, we can only assume what went on. But what good did it do him? What good does all the titles do you? If you're going to fall, you're going to fall. And so apparently he fell somehow. But he says that he's going to step down and he's going to sit under his father's teachings. Well, mistake number one over there. Get out of the place. Get out of the place. Go somewhere where nobody knows you, change your name, and read your Bible for yourself. Don't let your father tell you what the Bible says. because he doesn't know himself. You're going to go back there, Fred. You're going to sit there under your father's teaching and your mother's teaching, and you're going to call them apostle, and everybody else is going to call them apostle and Mrs. Apostle, and you're not going to get any better. Whatever it was that was bugging you, that made you do whatever you did, you're still going to have the problems because you didn't go out and try to make your own way in life. Anybody that's a parent, and you know this being a parent, that you have to let your children go at some point, and they have to learn how to accept responsibility and become independent. They have to learn how to earn a living. They have to learn how to get by in this world. And you have to do it. And this young man, nobody ever made him do it. I don't know if he ever did it. I don't know if he ever had a job besides working at the ministry. But he needs to get out of there and go away from Crenshaw and go away from all the teaching that he received under Mr. Fred Price Sr. and Betty, and go someplace far away where people don't know who you are. Don't say your name is Fred Price, whatever. If you have a middle name, use that. And read your Bible. Just get your Bible out and just start reading your Bible. Read it every day, every day, every day, every day. And then if you want to start a church, then you start a church. You do it on your own, teaching the things that you learned from that Bible, not what you learned over there at Crenshaw. Scrap all that. Scrap it. And maybe deep down inside, you really want to get out of there. But the lure of the money and the inheritance, it might be too much. Sometimes people won't put everything down. But that's the only way you're going to succeed if you want any kind of a ministry. If you want any kind of a ministry in the day and age that we live in, then you better learn how to trust God for what you need and not go having a begging ministry. Those days are over. I want to see it over. I want to see it over. I don't want the PayPal button. I don't want the begging that you better give me some money, otherwise I'm going away. I'm not going away. If I lose this radio program, and I won't, but if I lost my radio program, I would go on YouTube. It's free. It's free. There's a lot of things that you can do to preach the gospel that are free if you don't have money for a ministry. If you have to get a job to have a ministry, then you get a job to have a ministry if the ministry is not supporting you. So all the things that we've seen in the past, forget it. I don't want to see those things anymore. I don't want to see any of that. Because that's not, how can we teach people about faith? And how can we teach people about trusting God if we can't do it ourselves? If I don't know God as Jehovah Jireh, how can I tell you that he's going to be Jehovah Jireh to you? I can't, because I don't know him as that. But I do know him as Jehovah Jireh. I told people 1997, that was 20 years ago. I haven't tithed since 1997, haven't sowed a seed since 1997, never took up an offering. I don't have a PayPal button, nothing. Because the Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and all the other things will be added unto you. That's a promise. That's a promise. I don't have to give God money. I don't have to wave money at him. I don't have to sow seeds and do all kinds of things to get God's attention. He already made promises to me. He said he wouldn't see the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. That's what he said. And it is a much better way to live. And it's hard to get there. Sometimes it's hard to get there to learn how to trust God the way we're supposed to learn, because we didn't learn in the churches that we attended for the most part. We didn't learn from the television so-called ministries that we see. We learned all the wrong ways. We didn't learn the ways of God. We didn't learn his ways, but his ways are higher than our ways. And no matter what you're going through today, God will get you through. He'll get you through it. He promised. So anyway, I want to play. Let me play Fred's resignation here. Okay, here we go. It's about 5 minutes. So.
Good morning. Good morning, church.
Good morning, Pastor.
Approximately a month ago, I came before you to announce that I would be taking 3 month sabbatical. Well, I'm here today to give you an update. I have struggled with struggled with and am correcting and making amends for serious personal misjudgments which have affected my life and my family and which I deeply regret. I have betrayed the trust of God, my family, and you, my church, and for that I am so sorry. Therefore, I must step down as pastor at this time. Please let me finish. Please let me finish. I must step down as pastor at this time. I have submitted myself to my father's, our apostles' plan of restoration. Chief among those being that I will be attending Sunday service starting next week and throughout the year, so that I can hear the word and be restored in order to fulfill the call on my life to ministry. In closing, I would like to ask that you respect my and my family's privacy while we work through this personal situation. I thank you all for the support you've given. As pastor, I love you all, and I solicit your prayers during this difficult time.
Love you.
God is great. God is great. Don't worry about it. God got you. True man of God.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I thought I should let you know that Apostle, as the founder of this ministry and the overseer, and who is still contemporary with us, hallelujah, he's on his way. He will be the primary pastor and teacher while Pastor is away. But of course, until he's 100% healthy, which, by the way, your prayers are working, so keep them going. His creatinine is normal, his kidney function is normal. So it will just be a matter of time. So until that time, last week, the mother of our ministry, Mrs. Apostle, told us that she would be sharing with us because, OMG, if she doesn't have the most amazing wisdom, her wisdom is truly from above. And if all of us would heed to her wisdom, we'd do well in life. So I'm counting on you to be here. The ministerial staff will continue to support them as they have pastor, Bible studies, midweek services. All of the activities will go forward as usual. So, again, I'm counting on you to be here. I do want to say and add that the Price family absolutely adores and loves that man that was just on the stage. And as a family, we will be loving up on him through this difficult time. Thank you so much. Now, Mrs. Apostle. By the way, you guys are simply the best. I had loved you. Oh, no.
Please, you know, stop already. Mrs. Apostle, and this is her daughter talking. Mrs. Apostle and Mr. Apostle. Just stop. Okay, it's Fred. His name is Fred. Her name is Betty. That's who they are. That's who they are. They're just people. Flesh. It's like, stop it already. That's why, you know, Fred Jr., if you happen to listen to this, please don't sit there. Don't go over there and sit for 3 months while you take your sabbatical. No, go away. Go away, you and your Bible. And get a good translation of the Bible. A good translation. And sit there and just devour the Word of God and find out what the Word says for itself, what it says for itself. And don't go back to Babylon. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't look back. Like Lot's wife did. Don't look back. Just, you'll make it on your own. You'll make it. And you'll be a lot happier because I looking at you in that video when you gave this resignation speech, you looked like one unhappy man, I'll say. One unhappy man. You won't have any peace if you just go right back into the slop. You won't have any peace. Knowing that you compromised the Word of God for a kingdom that was built on sinking sand, like Crenshaw Christian Center was. Anyway, I want to play. If you go on YouTube, you will find a video, and it was made by our brother Kevin Oliver of Not Your Typical Negro. Anyway, he made this, that's the name of his channel, and he made this video called The Making of a False Apostle, I think it's called. And he did this video on Fred Price Sr. And Fred Price Sr. was, I'm put it in quotes, ordained an apostle by Wiley Jackson, who I think his church went into foreclosure. I'm pretty sure it did. And Ivy Hilliard was there. Oh, there was a bunch of people there. Oh, please. And they're all dressed like Catholic priests. They all have on the Catholic priest outfit. And they actually give Fred Sr. the staff. And they put a ring on his hand. You know what that ring is for? They want people to kiss that ring. And they actually have these, people actually kiss their ring. And in this audio that I'm going to play, you're going to hear that one of the guys gets up. I think it was Wiley Jackson. I think it was him. And he gets up and he says, he's talking about one of the other so-called apostles or whatever they are up there in their Catholic priest uniforms. And he calls him, "Your Grace." What? What is going on? What is happening? These people are drinking too much Kool-Aid over there. They're drinking too much Kool-Aid. Nobody, no human being is to be called Your Grace. No. Anyway, here, and this audio is about 4 minutes, okay? This is the induction service of Fred Price Sr. a few years ago when he was made an apostle.
We will have the testimonials to be read, the certificate of election by Dr. Beverly Crawford, and followed by the evidence for ordination by Bishop Ira Hilliard.
Your Grace, Bishop in the Church of God, the clergy, and the people of this great commission, Fellowship of Churches, trusting in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, elect Dr. Frederick K.C. Price to be an apostle. We therefore ask you, affirm him in the power of the Holy Spirit, an apostle in the one holy, universal, and apostolic church.
Now. Yes.
I offer these hands and my life for the service of God in God's world. I consecrate these hands and my life to the service of God and to the service of the ministry that has been entrusted in our hands.
Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, you have heard the testimony given that Dr. Frederick K.C. Price has been duly and lawfully appointed and designated to be an apostle in the Church of God and to serve his respective diocese. You have been assured of his suitability, that the church has approved him for this sacred responsibility. Nevertheless, if any of you know any reason why we should not proceed, let it now be made known. Since there are no objections, is it your will that we affirm Dr. Frederick K.C. Price as apostle?
That is my will.
At this time, I'm asking that my co-consecrators join me in vesting the apostle.
The new apostle is now vested according to the order of an apostle. The Roman cassock and the tippet were vested on Dr. Price during the induction ceremony. Dr. Price is wearing the Roman cassock that fastens 33 times down the front, symbolic of the years of the life of Christ. The tippet was also presented with these words: "Receive this tippet as a symbol of the preaching scarf. Every day in the temple and from house to house, keep on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." Now the chief consecrator and the co-consecrators will present the other symbols of the office. A Bible is presented by opening it at the Gospels and placing into the hands of the new apostle with these words: "Receive the Holy Scriptures, feed the flock of Christ committed to your charge, guard and defend them in his truth, and be a faithful steward of his holy word and decrees."
Well, believe it or not, right? Believe it or not. The chief consecrator I noticed they called him Dr. Frederick Casey Price, but according to his biography here on Wikipedia, he graduated from Dorsey High School in Los Angeles and then completed 2 years of schooling at Los Angeles City College. He later received an honorary diploma from Rhema Bible Training Center, which is the ministry of Kenneth Hagin, and an honorary Doctor of Divinity degree from Oral Roberts University. So apparently he does not have an earned doctorate. Hence, I would, you know, Fred, I would drop the title doctor, okay, because you're not really a doctor. You received an honorary doctorate that you didn't earn from Oral Roberts University, which means really doesn't mean too much, okay? It doesn't mean that you spent, I don't know how many years it takes to get a DD, but it might take 8 years, 12 years, something like that to get one. If you earned it, that's how many years you would have had to have gone to school to get a legitimate one. So just because somebody hands you a piece of paper and then you put the name doctor in front of your name, and it's useless, really. Anyway, it's not even necessary, okay? It's not even necessary. There's a lot of people that don't have degrees in front of their name, and they study the Bible. They know probably more about the Bible than the person that has the DD and the THD. Now, a lot of these people, of course, know the Word of God, but just because you have a college degree in theology or doesn't mean you're a theologian, because a real theologian is someone that's actually read the Bible and knows the Bible and preaches the truth of the Bible without any exterior motivation to enrich themselves in so doing, as we see today. So I'm going to play the second clip here of the audio of Fred Price, but I wanted to mention also when I was talking about Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn sold his church in Orlando to Clint Brown, and Clint Brown was the worship leader for Rod Parsley for many years, and then he branched out on his own, and he bought this Orlando Christian Center from Benny. I think he bought it for $8 or $10 million. Well, Benny really he fleeced Clint, let me tell you, because it going down that neighborhood there wasn't this church was not in a real good area of Orlando to begin with, and it was probably going downhill even more so when Benny decided to dump it on Clint. And so Clint Brown, of course, being the great man of faith and power he claims to be, he bought the building. It became another fleecing center, but he wasn't as good of a fleecer as Benny. He couldn't keep the thing going. So it wound up in bankruptcy, and so did Clint. Clint lost his marriage over it. He lost his home in a foreclosure. The church went bankrupt and was sold then at a foreclosure auction not too long ago. I think it sold for $2 million. And the Seventh-day Adventists bought it, and they've yet to really renovate it. It's kind of run down the way it looks now, but they'll be in the process of trying to get that building back in shape, I guess. But anyway, that's the background on what happened there. But here's the audio number two of the ceremony. And like I said, you can go and watch this ceremony. Oh, it is really awful, really. I don't get this whole thing. And I know my brother, the Wolf Tracker, has done a whole series on, and he has some books available about the fact that a lot of these ministries have now gone very deeply into Catholicism and Nehushtan bishops, and he has another one called Jackass Bishops. And those books are available. I know he's doing a whole series on this phenomena, really, that has taken off, mainly in the black churches for the most part. Of course, many of the white churches have adopted this too. I mean, I hate to say black and white, but most of the churches that you see today, when you see, they're still heavily segregated, really. So, but you see it in many places where men dress up in these dresses. They call them cassocks, like he was saying. It's a long dress that a man puts on, and it has all these buttons in the front, and then it's got a place on the top for them to have a collar, and they put those white collars in there. And then they want you, really, the reason why people wear these uniforms and they wear these costumes is because they're playing a part. Then they want you to think that they are somebody above you. And they're more spiritual than you because they've got the collar, they've got the title, and that you're supposed to submit to them because they can tell you everything the Word of God says. But I don't know everything the Word of God says. I can't tell you I know everything. I know some things. I'm still learning. I'm still learning like you're learning. And we learn from each other. So nobody's got nobody can say, I know everything about the Word of God, so you better listen to me. So, but this is this whole Nicolaitan thing where they put people put themselves above other people in the body of Christ, and we're supposed to submit to them so we can learn, we can get their learning. Well, we better be getting our learning from the Word of God, and we better be finding out if what they're telling us is true. Because if they have to go so far as to put a title in front of their name and dress up in a silly costume and put this, and why do people put on a costume? They put on a costume to play a part. That's what actors do. They put on a costume and they get up and then actors, they change their name. Their name could be something, I don't know, I can't think right now. I mean, some of the people like, okay, let's say, what was it, Joan Crawford. I think her name was Louise LeSueur or something. You know, they can't go by their real name. They have to get a fake name. And then they always have to go out and be putting on an act. They can never be real. You can't call them like Fred Price Sr. You can't call him Fred. Yeah. You have to call him doctor or apostle. So they're never real. And so they're kind of they develop schizophrenic personalities because they have to be one thing over there at the church. And then when they go home, they're another thing. You can ask his wife and his kids what goes on at home, because everybody's got, people say, like you see these programs on TV where they put people on trial and they ask the neighbors, what kind of a neighbor was he? Oh, he was a wonderful person. And the wife says, no, he was a wife beater and a drunk. And the neighbor says, no, that's not possible. But you don't know what's going on in somebody's house. You don't know. So we don't know what's going on over there at Fred's house, what's been going on over there since he's been married. He married his high school sweetheart. So they've been married a long time, him and Betty. I'm sure that he lets his hair hang down when he's at home, and he's just Fred over there. But if you can't be Fred at the church, you don't have to put on an act. Just be yourself. Anyway, here's number two of this ridiculous ceremony.
See this cross as a sign of your Lord's triumph and the banner of our salvation. Be one with the apostles in proclaiming Christ's resurrection and his sovereignty as Lord and Savior. The ring is presented with these words: receive this ring as a symbol of authority. Guard the faith, unity, and discipline of Christ's Holy Apostolic Church. A crozier is presented with these words: receive this staff as a sign of the shepherd's office. Be in all things a faithful pastor and wholesome example for the flock of Christ. The base of the staff is used to fight off the wolves that come to destroy the sheepfold. The hook is for the apostle to use to draw wayward saints and go get the strays. The nod, the round part, is to encourage the apostle to hold on. The shepherd uses this to rest when the journey gets weary. Gives me great honor and pleasure to present for the first time in Crenshaw Christian Center, Apostle Frederick K. C. Price.
I am overwhelmed. I never dreamed of anything like this. I don't know. I don't even know what thing we're supposed to go on. It's not a wedding ring, so I guess it goes on. I guess it goes on this finger.
It's pitiful. Notice that they said they were giving him a staff, and it was this long, like, what you see, like, when you look at Bible pictures and you see a shepherd and they're holding this staff and it has a hook on it, and they give it to Fred, and they say, well, you have to use this to scare away the wolves. I don't think, what wolf are you talking about? I see a bunch of wolves. I saw a bunch of wolves in that whole ceremony. Who's going to beat you off? Who's going to beat you off? Talk about wolves. Really. And then they were putting Fred and Betty, and Betty participates in this thing. She's dressed up in a little priest uniform too, if you could believe it or not. And doesn't the Bible say that a wife is supposed to be a helpmeet to a man? A wife is supposed to say, hey, honey, you're getting off over there, honey. You know, you're cracking up. No, Betty puts on the dress too, the priest uniform. And she gets up there and she lets Fred put a ring on her hand. And they put these bishop's rings or whatever, apostle rings on their hands. And he's Mr. Apostle and she's Mrs. Apostle. And she goes along with it. She goes along with it. And she doesn't say, Fred, you're messing up over there, Fred. No. And then they wear these rings. And there's a video on YouTube where there's this preacher lady called Jackie McCullough, and she has this bishop induction ceremony that she does, and then she puts a ring on, and people are kissing the ring. Oh, no, no, I'm sorry. This is awful. It's just awful. Why do people subject themselves to this kind of thing? I don't want any God but Jesus. That's the only God I want to serve. I don't want to serve any man. Bound down to some man kissing his ring and calling him your grace and apostle and whatever. Just like, stop it already, please. But anyway, Fred Jr., if you listen to this, and I hope you do, That's my advice to you, is to go on a long trip with your family. Go somewhere like out to the desert in Arizona or something, or Utah, Colorado, where nobody knows you, and just be yourself. Get up there, get a Rocky Mountain High up in those mountains of Colorado, and get your Bible. Go for long walks, inhale the fresh air, and ask the Lord for direction. It's better to get a job someplace doing something honest to earn a living instead of fleecing God's people just for a position in a church. It's just not worth it. It's not worth your young man. You seem like a decent young man, so you have a long life ahead of you. You have a long life ahead of you, and you can really make something beautiful out of your life. And you can say that you did it on your own. You'd be a lot better off. Anyway, remember to keep this young man in our prayers. Really, it is my hope that we can see more of the children of these apostles, so-called, and evangelists and TV preachers. I'd like to see more of the children that are coming up say no to taking over these fleecing centers and not going in, not just following in their parents' footsteps and going along with fleecing people. That a lot of these children will say no to it and stand up on their own, even if it means giving up their inheritance or whatever they're going to get after the parents are gone, because they're going to have to answer to God one day for their actions. All of us are. So what do you want to hear on that day? We want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that you took my word and you used it for my sake. That's what we want to hear from Jesus, right? We took the word of God. We didn't handle the word of God deceitfully. And we took the word. We taught the word. That's what we want to hear on that day, isn't it? So Jeremiah 3:15 says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Amen. And hopefully God's going to raise up pastors who have a heart for the people, that they don't just do it as a job and as a way to collect 10% from people. So anyway, I wanted to talk also a little bit about this lady, Jennifer LeClaire. And Jennifer LeClaire is a editor. She's the editor there. I think she said she was the managing editor at Charisma Magazine. I also wanted to mention the fact that this week, our sister Jackie Alnor and our brother Barry Bowen have launched a Christian newspaper, a Christian news magazine. It's an investigative journalism. It's investigative journalism for the most part. And this is what I like to say about it, is that it's an alternative to Charisma Magazine, the Christian fake news magazine, that this Christian Sentinel that was launched. And you can go to the website, thechristiansentinel.com, is where you can find this news magazine investigative journal. That I hope will be bigger and better than Charisma Magazine, and it will not be the fake news, the fake Christian news magazine as Charisma is. There's so much fake news there. They promote every heretic and every false prophet going over there at Charisma. I'm like, can't they take a stand for something over there? You know, really. But anyway, I think I have a call, and I'm going to take your call in a few minutes. Just let me get through this a few things about Jennifer LeClaire, and then I think I have a call, 949, and I will take your call, okay? So, anyway, Jennifer LeClaire, the editor at Charisma Magazine there, which the magazine is owned by Stephen Strang, and they've been around for many, many years, but she calls herself, I guess she likes to think of herself as a prophetess. I don't know if she actually calls herself that, but she does a lot of talking about the prophetic this and the prophetic that. But I want to ask you something there, Jennifer. Jennifer, you promote a person in your magazine called Paula White. You know, Paula, here's Paula White's names. Most people know her by Paula White, but she's Paula Fur Knight White Friga. Knight White, and her husband calls himself Jonathan Kane, but his name is Friga, Jonathan Friga. So those are all her names. And you know that lady, Paula White, that she says she's a Christian, and she says that she is, or she's labeled anyway, the spiritual advisor to President Donald J. Trump. President Trump, please, you need to get a new advisor, okay? Paula White is a psychic. She's a psychic. She just had that psychic Prempe at her church last week. She had him there again. He is a psychic. He works with Bernard Jordan, who's another psychic. So she has this psychic guy at her church because he collects big money. And this is the lady that you're promoting. That you're promoting this lady, okay? You promote her in your magazine. So you have all this prophetic blah, blah, blah that you claim. But yet you promote a person like Paula White Kane Friga, whatever her name is. And also, please go on my YouTube channel. And you don't even, you can go on, there's other channels on YouTube that have the same video. They have the video of a church service at Paula White's church. And I think it was a year or so ago. This is a Sunday morning service. It's Sunday morning church service at Paula White Kane Friga's church. They're having a marriage seminar or a family seminar. Paula and her husband get up. I saw it with my own eyes. I was watching that day. I couldn't believe what I saw and what I heard that day in a church where there was children sitting in the audience. There was teenagers sitting in the audience. Paula's husband gets up, and you can see the video. It's on, put in your search engine, Paula White promotes porn. Put Paula White promotes porn, and you will get the actual video of the service, and you will see Paula White and her husband standing up in a pulpit on a Sunday morning telling people to watch pornography. You see, Jonathan, her husband, who another one that Charisma Magazine promotes as being a Christian, telling the women of the church that if your husband likes to watch porn with him. And Paula giggles in the background, and then she says, John and I don't watch porn, but he doesn't watch porn without me. Yeah, and then her husband tells them that, yeah, you can get movies for couples. Movies. Okay. So I want to know, Jennifer LeClaire, editor of Charisma Magazine, I want to know why you promote these people. Why? You're supposed to be a news magazine over there. You can't do any research on who you're promoting? You promote people like Rick Joyner, who is a Knight of Malta, this secret paramilitary Catholic organization, which I don't know what branch he is in, but you promote every wacky person that there is. I'm calling it the wacky world of Jennifer LeClaire. And you're all over the place on Sid Roth. You're all over the place on YouTube, Periscope, Facebook, whatever. and you're preaching and you're teaching and you're saying, I heard from God, but no, sit down. Sit down. You didn't hear from God. If you promote a person like Paula White as a Christian, there's something wrong with your Christianity. There's something wrong. All Paula does is collect money. That's what her whole, her so-called ministry is all about. There's never one Sunday, if you watch her church service, where she doesn't take up at least two offerings. At least. All she does is fleece people. Watch her television program. That's all she does, is sell miracles. She sells miracles and trinkets and whatever. And then her and her husband tell people to watch porn. So Jennifer LeClaire, sit down, please. Sit down. Resign from Charisma Magazine and sit down. Go away somewhere, another person. Go away somewhere in the desert and get take your Bible. And don't listen to anybody else. Just read your Bible for 2 or 3 months and clean your brain out. Because I want to know what's wrong with you. That's what I want to know. I want to know what's wrong with you. I hope you listen to this program because you don't answer emails. Let me play this here. Let me play this little audio here. This is Jennifer LeClaire, the editor of Charisma Magazine, who says that she was laying on the floor and she let a man kick her in the pants. Oh, yeah, okay. This is really Christian, too, right? This is
recently at the Upgrade Conference in San Antonio with Ryan LeStrange, John Eckhart, and James Gall. James Gall grabbed hold of me, grabbed hold of Ryan, began to pray. We fell out. All of a sudden, I felt somebody kicking me, praise God. I thought, I must need to get up. What's happening? Someone's trying to get me to rise up off the ground. So I got up, but later on, I saw a photo, and it was James Gall himself kicking me, kicking me, kicking me. I called a prophetic kick in the pants. That prophetic kick in the pants caused me to rise up and launch into a mega transition, a mega upgrade. So I want to give you a prophetic kick in the pants virtually right now in Jesus' name. Do what God has called you to do. Don't let man stop you. Don't let mammon frighten you. Do what God has called you to do. Prophesy. Do what God has called you to do. Let me say it one more time. Do what God has called you to do. This is Prophetic Moments with Jennifer LeClaire. Do what God has called you to do.
Yeah, I tell you what God has called me to do. He told me to quit listening to you. That's what God told me to do. So please stop. What? Who goes to church? Now tell me. Who would bother going to a service and lay on the floor and let some man kick you in the pants? Who does that? I'm amazed. Are you amazed? Now, did you think that you have heard everything in your life? Imagine getting up on Sunday morning, putting on your pretty dress, going down to the church house, and you get knocked on the floor and somebody kicks you in the pants. Yeah. You know, no wonder the world thinks we're nuts. All those nutty Christians over there. I guess. Lord help us. Anyway, that is the editor of Charisma Magazine. The editor. Anyway, let me see this phone call. I don't know if they have a question or maybe they're just listening. 949, do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Susan. I listen to your show every Saturday, so I just want to say it's been a blessing. I love your show. But I did want to add something. Can you hear me? I want to make sure you can hear
me. Yeah.
I did want to add something. I was listening to you talk about Fred Price. I wanted to let you know that actually the Sun has retracted. They don't teach on the tithe. He actually has done several series, and I wouldn't say teachings, but actual whole series on that the tithe was never money, that it was food, and that he released the people. So I just thought, you know, you should know that. I don't know I mean, they are associated with some questionable ministries in the sense of like Creflo Dollar, and there are some other, I mean, they have close association with some ministries, I think, that are, you know, that I personally disagree with. But I have to say that I've attended the church, and he definitely, the son, and it wasn't the father, it was the son. He did a lot of research, and he brought that research to his father. And they went before the people and literally retracted that teaching. And they teach against the tithe. It's factual. Oh. In fact, I think you can find the series on their website. It's on record, public record. They absolutely do not teach the tithe. And so, yeah, anymore. So it's pretty amazing. I've never seen another ministry do that, to be honest, especially a mega ministry. But they retracted that, repented, and they teach against it. And I think it's been for a couple years now. I think it's been since 2000, at least 2014, 13, something like that, that they stopped teaching on the tithe.
Well, I knew that. I knew that Junior.
Yeah.
You know, I knew that he had retracted a lot of that teaching on the tithe. I know some of the people that were involved in confronting him about it, which basically got him to thinking.
Yeah.
He was confronted by the brothers on the Church Folk Revolution a few years ago when he had called in, and they confronted him about it, and he hung up on him, Fred Jr. did. But then he came back on the program. Well, I have to hand it to him, because he did come back after.
Yeah.
They were confronting him about his false teachings, but he came back on. That show is probably still archived out there. They might have it up. I'm not sure, you know, if they have it up on their Blog Talk Radio site or not, but then he came back on the program and they talked to him a little bit. Him, TJ and Marcellus did. And so, I mean, they got him to thinking. Maybe there was other people before that, but I know that he did. He was man enough, I have to say, to go and read the scriptures for himself and find out what the truth was. I didn't know that Senior had repented of it. But,
I don't know. I spoke a little soon. I don't know about he actually saying.
I don't know if Senior has.
Yeah, but he.
Yeah, you don't know for sure about Senior, right?
No, I don't. He never said the words "I repent," but he did acknowledge that his son was correct. So I mean,
Senior didn't repent.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that would be important, you know. That would be important if Junior was going to stay there. For me, my advice is that he doesn't stay there, that he gets out on his own. Because you can't have two opinions. You know, you can't have the father teaching one thing and then you don't really have the freedom. He doesn't really have the freedom that he needs to really pastor that church the way he wants to. Because his father is his overseer. So,
yeah.
You know, I like Fred Jr. I do. I like him. And I hope the best for him. Like I said, he was going to come on this program. It's been about a year or so since I was in touch with him on Twitter. But he has an open invitation to come on anytime. And I told him, I said, I don't want to talk about your father. I want to talk to you and get to know you. And anyway, we'll see what happens. I appreciate you calling in. Thanks for calling in. And, you know, we'll lift him up. You know, he's got a long way to go. So, you know, he'll be okay, hopefully.
Yes.
He'll be okay.
Well, thank you for taking my call. Thank you.
All right. God bless you.
God
thank
bless
you for
too.
Calling in.
Thank you for calling
All
in.
Right.
Bye-bye.
All right, then. So, anyway, I know that if you wanted to look at, if you wanted to find some of the, I know Fred Price Jr. did put out some teachings on tithing. I know that my friend, of course, we've had Ron Roby on here many times. I know that he had talked to him, and they were friendly in talking about the tithe. And I mean, really, Ron Roby is like Mr. Tithe Man. You know, you can't you can't get any better than, if you want to know about tithing, you want to talk to Ron Roby. And if you have any questions, just go to his Facebook page, and he will answer you with anything you need to know, because we teach free will giving. We teach love giving, giving out of love to help people and not to get something back for yourself. That has to stop, really. We want to get that selfishness out of the body of Christ and put the love back in. Amen. But anyway, let's talk a little bit more about Jennifer LeClaire. Okay. And anyway, I'm going to chop up this program a little bit when I'll probably make a video and put it up on YouTube, because I would like Jennifer, I really would like you to come on my program and let's have a talk. I'd like to talk to you because I want to know, we have a responsibility as teachers of the Word of God. And if we're going to have any kind of a public ministry to Christians and to non-Christians, then we are responsible for what we teach. We are responsible. So that means that we need to take out our Bible and we need to read it. And then when we read it, we need to deliver it to people with honesty and integrity. So if you're going to call yourself a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you work for a so-called Christian magazine, which is far from Christian, in my opinion, and you promote false prophets and false teachers, and you promote the biggest scam artists, how can you rationalize in your mind that you promote people like Jim Baker, who's turned into a miracle seller? How do you promote people like Creflo Dollar, Mike Murdoch, Benny Hinn? How do you promote any of these people? Because number one, anybody that calls themselves a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to sell you a miracle, that's not a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in my opinion, that's not a Christian. Because Christians get convicted of their sins. We get convicted when we mess up. And so you go week after week and year after year scamming people and selling miracles, and then you're going to have a magazine and you're going to be an editor of a so-called Christian magazine, and you're going to say that these are the Christians you're promoting? No, I don't think so. Jennifer, like I said, take your Bible, go off to the desert somewhere, get in a teepee or something. You know, be like John the Baptist. Go to the desert. Jesus went 40 days and 40 nights. Yeah. Take your Bible and go away somewhere and read it. Then I guarantee you, come back in 40 days, come back, and you will never be the same again. You will not promote people like Paula White. You won't promote her. You won't promote her husband. You'll write a story there in Charisma Magazine, and they'll throw you out. They'll fire you. You write a story that they're not Christians. They promote porn. And they scam people out of money selling miracles in the name of Jesus. And then Steve Strang will fire you. Yeah, he'll fire you. So see how long you'll hang around when you start telling the truth over there. We'll see. But you'll have your own ministry on YouTube, and you can get a program on Blog Talk Radio or some other radio, and you can probably get a free television program somewhere on one of these satellite networks, so you won't have to worry about it. You worry about a job. God will give you a job. God will give you a job when you tell the truth about the gospel. Yeah, he'll give you a job, and he'll take care of you, too. Then you won't have to lie to people anymore. But anyway, here's Jennifer LeClaire. She's going to teach you about money. Here she is.
With the Messiah, things began to change as you began to pray. Tell me what happened.
Well, I began, as I said, to devour that word, and I never stopped. I began to meditate on the word, and I began to put the word into practice. And it's one thing to read the word, and it's another thing to study the word. But when we put our action on the word, that's when we begin to see results. And that's what I did. I plugged into a good church. I got equipped, and I began to take the word at face value. You know, if the word says it, I believe that's what it means.
Well, speaking of the word saying it, one day God speaks to you and he says to you, "You're robbing me."
Yeah.
What did he mean?
Yeah, I was letting, I very little money at the time, but what I did have, I was generous. I would let people borrow it. And they kept stealing it from me. I wouldn't be able to pay bill because someone had taken the money that I'd borrowed from them. And I was really very angry and annoyed. And I was down on my couch on my knees. And I said, "God, you know, what is going on with this? I'm generous. I'm trying to help people. What is going on? I'm tired of all these people robbing from me." And I heard the still small voice in my heart says, "Well, stop robbing from me." And it was then that I learned really to tithe, to give the 10% to God. And I tell you, when I did that thing slowly, it didn't happen overnight, but step by step began to turn around for me.
Well, give me kind of a review of what's going on with you right now about the turnaround. How many books have you published? And have you ever seen those books for dummies in bookstores? She's written a couple of them. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I've written several of those now. And those were the first books that I began to write long before I began to write religious books. And so I've written a number of those. I've now written 8 Christian books on top of that. And God has taken the gift within me and used it to bring increase and to bring prosperity into my life. And he'll do the same thing for anybody.
Okay, tell me about the oceanfront condo. I mean, from food stamps to an oceanfront condo.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
It's really supernatural. What happened was I began to understand the law of confession. And I'm not talking about the name it, claim it. You know, I'm talking about standing, in line with what God's word says. And so I had a desire in my heart. I wanted an oceanfront condo. And so I began to confess, "I have an oceanfront condo and it is paid for," back in 2005. "I have an oceanfront condo and it is paid for." And I just, every day, I had a list of confessions and I would read that. At the same time, I would tithe, I would give offerings, and I would work hard. And sure enough, within 5 years, I have an oceanfront condo, and guess what?
What?
It's paid for.
I like that. How would you like that? Anything God will do for her, God will do for you. But let me ask you something. You struggled with fear and doubt and unbelief. What did God show you about doubt and unbelief?
God showed me a couple of things. Doubt is the doorway to unbelief. And
yes, and you can be just like Jennifer. Why did she need God? Because, you know, she says, "I did it. I confessed. I gave. I sold." Then why did you need God for then if you were doing all that stuff? Anyway, Jennifer, I want to tell you something. God doesn't talk like that because he doesn't tell people, "You robbed me." No, what does God need money for? He doesn't need any money. He doesn't talk like that. That wasn't God. He doesn't talk like that. My father and mother never told me, they never talked to me like that. They never said, "If you want something from me, Susan, you better give me something first. Because if you don't give me something, you're robbing me, so then I can't do anything for you, my child." My parents never talked to me like that. They never. They knew what I needed. I didn't even have to ask them most of the time. I didn't even have to ask them. That's what the Bible says, that God knows what you need even before you ask. So, Jennifer, God didn't say to you that you were robbing. And the Bible says, too, don't lend. Don't lend. Okay, don't lend money, because when you lend money, just don't expect to get it back, okay? So don't lend. If you're going to give money, give it. Because, yeah, people want you to lend them money and then they have a real hard time paying it back. And then you make an enemy. Then you make an enemy because they say, oh, she's harassing me because she wants her money back. Well, don't lend. The Bible says don't lend, so don't lend. Don't lend. Anyway, Jennifer, you have some serious issues. You have some serious issues there. No, God didn't tell you you were robbing him and you were wondering why you were having all these financial problems because God said, you're robbing me. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. And the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. That's what the Bible says. Jesus never said when he walked the earth, Jennifer, remember Jesus when he walked the earth? Did Jesus ever ask anybody for money? Ever? Did he ever say, before I can do anything for you, I need some money? He never said it, okay? So if he never said it and he never did it, then it ain't so, Jennifer. Because Jesus was God on the earth. Book of Philippians says that he came in fashion as a man. In fashion, he looked like a man. But he was God in the flesh. So if Jesus didn't do it, if he never said it, he never said, you're robbing me and you're doing all these things to me. Did he stand in front of the 5,000 and multiply the loaves and the fishes and say, now, wait a minute, everybody. I cannot do one thing for you here because you're robbing me. And until you pay me, I can't do a thing for you. See you later. It's ridiculous. Please stop. Just stop with this foolishness already. People like you and the people you hang around with portray God like he's some kind of a horrible person that sits up there on a throne and he won't do anything for you unless you lay a $100 bill at his feet. It's a mockery. It's a mockery. The whole thing. It's just a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. What did he die? What did Jesus have to come to earth and live here and die for us for? If we're then going to take the gospel and make a mockery out of it. It's just stupid. I don't believe this whole thing. I mean, I can't believe that this woman is the editor of Charisma Magazine. But, of course, you can't say too much for Charisma. They need to shut the thing down. And either you're going to tell the truth over there and quit reporting fake news. Talk about CNN being the fake news network. Charisma Magazine is the fake Christian news magazine. Don't report anymore on scam artists and call them Christians. Don't report anymore on false prophets and call them Christians. If you can't find a decent Christian to report on, then just teach the word of God. Have some good Bible teachers in the magazine that tell people the truth about what the word of God says, and then send people to the Bible for them to read it for themselves to find out if it's so, like good Bereans are supposed to do. But anyway, that's our program for today. And don't forget to check out the Christian Sentinel, Jackie Alnor's new magazine, and check us out on check out the Rapture Ready Radio Network also. There's many great teachers on there. Also, Eternity Ready Radio is our new radio network. And we have our YouTube channel. We have our website, propheticnews.com. Also, check out our brother, the Wolf Trackers, doing a series on the 95 thesis of Martin Luther. So you want to listen to that. Also, he has the Reformation News, Reformation Radio News on Blog Talk Radio. And that's a great program. In fact, I think they're doing a live program today. So check him out on Blog Talk Radio. But anyway, thanks, everybody. Thanks, everybody in the chat room. I see you all. Thanks for stopping by. Like I said, we're celebrating in August. It'll we'll be going into our ninth year of broadcasting. Wow, hundreds of programs. They're all archived. All our programs are archived on Blog Talk Radio. And our book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings, is also available out there. So God bless you, everybody. And remember, the most important thing today is to give your life to Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Repent of your sins today. Ask Jesus to come into your life and to change your life, to be your Lord and your Savior. And you must be born again. Read the third chapter of John. Read the whole book of Romans. The book of Romans says confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Remember, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. You might think you're a good person, but you're not good enough. That's why Jesus had to come and die for your sins. He's your Savior, and he wants to be your Lord. Amen? So everybody have a great weekend, and God bless you. Whatever you're going through today, God will see you through. He'll get you through. Sometimes it looks like, you know, sometimes it looks like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, doesn't it? But God will see you through, and he'll give you a testimony. Amen. God bless you all. Bye-bye. I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.